Pickaxe.
Folks, welcome to Dungeons and Randomness. Since 2012, myself and an amazing cast of 18 have been telling stories in our homebrew world of Theria. Four different groups explore lost ruins, run for political office, rage against a mad king, set sail to long-forgotten islands, and so much more. Every group has a different story and flavor, and every season, or arc, has a new set of groups and stories, all building the history of our world with every single session. Literally hundreds of hours of stories are waiting for you as part of the Pickaxe Network. Check out Dungeons and Randomness wherever you get your podcasts, and we'll see you around the table.
This is Pitch Please, the show where people who play games pitch ideas to people who make them. This week...
Did Zeus fuck Hades?
Oh, probably.
Who didn't have sex?
Zeus could fuck anyone, but he wouldn't fuck me.
Welcome to Pitch Please. My name's Alex. I'm joined by developer Chris from Foggy Box.
I'm now deaf.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
An explosive intro.
Developer James from Catastrophic Overload.
Huh? Who said that?
Thomas the Ideas Engine.
Hello.
Oh, I love it.
New volume.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
All right.
If you've not listened to us before, the way this works, one of us is going to pitch an idea for a game. An idea for a game will be pitched. And then we're going to spend the rest of the show trying to make it work. Someone's going to lay down a broth and then we're going to put our own little vegetables and bits in, right?
I like to add coriander.
That's incredibly divisive off the bat.
What?
Probably one of the most divisive ingredients.
I like to add rocket.
Oh.
That's better. I would have rocket. Rocket's fine.
I like to add...
inoffensive.
Turn-based card battle.
I wonder where he was going to go with it.
That's how we do up here in Pitch Please. Welcome,
up in Pitch Please,
to the ground floor, to the next big idea.
What is the next big idea? Anyone got anything this week?
Oh, no? Well, let me just sift through these gold mines I got up here in this dome real quick. It's empty. I got nothing. Oh my God, there's nothing right here. End the episode. We can't put this out.
All right, we're gonna have to end it. Let him so. Hang on. Fear not, Tom.
Hang on. Can you hear that? My phone's ringing.
Ring, ring.
that's my ringtone right now. I'm gonna
what is it saying?
Leave it going for a little bit to keep
ring,
them.
Ring, ring.
You know,
yeah.
I forgot that. Do you remember when I did that recording session for you, Tom, where you told me to say ring, ring, and you made it your thing?
It took 3 hours. I don't know how you kept fucking it up. But I should probably answer this call. Boop.
What up, Pitch Boys? It's me, your old friend, King of the Mushan. If it's easier, you can call me Mushan or King or, I don't know, dumbass. It's your show. Do what you want. But I'm here to throw an offering into
How did you get this number?
Right, hold on, Mushan.
How did you get this number?
look, I'm telling him to be quiet for a moment. Mushan, hold on, all right?
Yeah, just hang on a second. I'm going to put you on hold, King.
What are we calling him? Is he Mushan? Is he just nerd?
King?
Is he loser?
He said dumbass.
Whoops. I went to loser. Sorry.
Yeah, he just went for all the things he didn't list there.
Wow.
All right, well, prick. Honestly, I love his voice. I want to hear more of this.
Let's hear more.
Hang on, let me just get him back again. Boop!
This is probably my least fleshed out idea, so I wanted to give you something to actually work with and help create, as opposed to a semi-finished idea for you to just, I don't know, look at. I don't even have a name for this one. But enough wasting time, let's get right into it. So this idea is heavily inspired by the Shadow of Mordor and Shadow of War games, and I imagine it looking somewhat similar, a kind of 3D sword-fighty action game set in an open-world fantasy land, you know, your usual stuff, with a few villages and dungeons scattered around, maybe like one or two bigger cities. But in this world, you play a Phantom Knight, a warrior blessed by the God of Death with the ability to reform after you're killed. You essentially play the part of the villain, but you begin with only very basic weapon skills.
Fuck yeah.
The goal of the game is ultimately to confront the holy paladin champion of the god of light or something. I don't know. I'm not sold on the final boss.
All right, Mushan, hold on a second.
Sorry, right. he's sorry, King. I'm going to have to put you on hold again. Alex has got another problem.
So far, this is What? This is Shadow of Mordor, but you're the bad guy? Is that what his... Is that the setup?
You're the Phantom Knight, the God of Death, Alex.
So you're the biggest bad guy.
You're the real bad guy.
But you start off pretty shit.
Yeah, you're the rudest dude that's ever duded a rude rude.
All right, so you're starting off as dude and you need to... I guess you're progressing to rude.
You want
to
get rude. You want to get rude.
Okay,
yeah,
so all right.
Start dude, end rude.
And you can come back when you die as well. That's important. I mean, I feel like that's just every game, but...
Yeah. Explain it away.
Yeah, good point. All right. Okay, I'm sorry. Can you bring him back, Tom, please?
Yeah, hang on. King, you still there? King?
Oh, no, I don't think it... King? Oh, you've got to press the button, I think.
Oh, sorry.
But I do know I want it to be kind of like Breath of the Wild, where you can waltz right into the final boss chamber and go toe-to-toe with the big bad, or I guess in this case, the big good, right off the bat. It helps to do other big objectives first, but technically there's nothing stopping you from fighting the final boss right out the gate. In this case, those optional big objectives are to go to these temples scattered around the world and fight the ghosts of ancient masters of combat. Each one you defeat, you absorb their knowledge and gain their weapon skills. So maybe you fight the ghost of the sword master and you unlock new combos and new kinds of attacks you can use with your sword. Maybe you fight the bow guy and you unlock a spiritual bow you can summon that's in no way inspired by Shadow of Mordor. But essentially, the more of these ancient masters you defeat, the more you grow your own ability to fight effectively. Alternatively, I considered each master you defeat unlocks the ability just to use a different kind of weapon, like a spear, sword, flail, bow, etc. That has its own skill tree that you can progress down as you use it more.
Okay. All right. Mushan, hold on a sec. Sorry. Just want to make sure we're
sorry,
on the same page.
Sorry, this is so unprofessional,
here.
King. He's not normally like this. No, he is like this. He is like this all the time, actually.
Yeah, I'm a jerk. Listen, you prick.
Yeah, okay.
So where we're at so far is it's like a reverse Shadow of Mordor that has the, when he's talking about the different bosses effectively that you're going to have to fight to unlock stuff, that makes me think a little bit of, I mean, it's an open world, like it's Breath of the Wild, right?
Yeah.
You've got that's kind of what he's getting at.
What they call the divine beasts in Breath of the Wild. But instead of, you know, a camel, it's a man with a big sword.
Yeah, or a man with a big bow.
Yeah, except obviously you don't fight the camel and get camel powers, whereas in this you will get camel powers.
Well, no, you do. You kind of
do. You get angry because you've got the
How does it work? I can't remember in Breath of the Wild. What do you get for finishing
you
those?
You get the divine champion's powers. So the champions that were held in the beasts, you get their powers. So you do get powers, and that's a very Zelda-y thing, right?
God, I don't even remember that.
You get something out of the dungeon that you have to use in future ones, like the forest temple, you get the bow and you need the bow in the next dungeon. You get the hook shot and then you get the iron boots and things like that. Like it is a very Zelda-y thing to go to a thing to get the reward. Whereas in Breath of the Wild, you can just go to the final boss straight away if you want without all of these powers. You'll be stupid too, or a speedrunner.
Is that possible? Like, could you just finish it? Is that a speedrun thing? Do people do that?
They go straight to it. Like the speedrun for Breath of the Wild is like 20 minutes, probably less now.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's nuts. It might be more than that. I don't know.
It's like 5 seconds.
It's like, someone completed it before it even came out. Before it was even finished. It was incredible. Well, I mean, but yeah, like getting new weapons and learning new weapon arts by going to, I imagine there's not just 4 or 5 or 6 of these people around the map. There's loads of them and they all teach different abilities like the spin move or the riposte or the parry or whatever else is stuff that you have to learn from going to everything. And I guess right at the very start of the game, all you can really do is like a one hit combo and you suck, but you have to, you know, maybe you can beat the final boss with a one hit combo or whatever, but going to the 400 different ghost trainers around the world, then you can fight the, what was it? The God of Light or something that he's not sold on.
Yeah. Yeah. The God of Light, the unsold God of Light.
Yeah. That's his name.
That's the unsold. No, that sounds cool. I quite like even just the idea of the fact that you're playing as the bad guy feels like there's a decent opportunity around the kind of skills that you would learn.
like being particularly evil.
Oh yeah, I mean, yeah, the very first one you get is suck, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whether that's life or blood or
do you think the powers change? Do you always become evil, or is there like the Fable or Infamous style choices where, like in Infamous, if you are evil, you get fire. If you're good, you get ice. In Infamous 2.
You are the Phantom Knight, the warrior blessed by the God of Death.
That is true, but you could still, you know, say your please and thank yous.
There's loads of different types of evil.
You can be polite.
There's fire evil. Like
you trip up kids.
Yeah, you could either have the physical, where you trip people over or slap them, like happy slaps, stuff like that. or you go elemental evil.
While we're on types of evil,
be up
trees. Could you explain to me how a lawful evil works? What is that? What is an example of a lawful evil? I've never understood that graph.
You slap someone, but you ask them if you can first.
So it's kind of, yeah, you're doing evil
bad
things
for the sake of good.
Yeah.
But within the law? Right.
Okay. A Tory is a lawful evil, is right?
No, I don't know. I think they're quite unlawful.
It's like bad things for good reasons.
So it's like an anti-hero. Where it's like,
yeah,
the means that she make like defines. What is it?
Do you remember that famous saying when do the what with the
end? You wish you were
the means. The ends justify the means.
No, that doesn't sound right.
No, okay.
But that's lawful evil. Lawful evil, yeah, is doing. You're an evil character, but you got good reasons. It makes sense. Neutral is just you're just a prick. Chaotic is. You just want to take over the world and destroy it. Like, who does that serve? No one. You just want to destroy everything. Like, fuck you.
Okay.
And well, everything around you.
Okay. That's what I was thinking. Is there certain weapons you can only do if you decide to stay slightly less evil than evil? Or is it you can just unlock everything?
Do you think you go to an ancient ghost warrior and he's like, I could teach you this, but you haven't murdered anyone yet. Like... I don't know.
Well, no, maybe it's, I would say maybe there are some like region bosses that you keep alive, right? And you get their powers if you have, but then they require you to kill another one. So you lose, maybe you start with everything and you have to lose and gain certain things.
Oh,
right.
Yeah. No, learning like pitting the warriors against each other so you can't possibly get every ability.
Yes.
That could be very cool.
Well, could there be perhaps like there could be some warriors like there could be some characters where you have to fight them, but you'll get a different ability depending on if you kill them or if you spare them. So that you can only ever choose one thing, and then that has consequences in its own right.
What if it is like Shadow of War? You either recruit them or you suck them and get their ability. I mean.
Oh,
but then that could also have ramifications for like their followers, right? So if they exist in the world, maybe there are factions and you decided to help them. So they'll attack you if they see you out and about around the world. But if you spare them, that means that they won't. But then someone else will because you've then gone against their, belief.
Okay, followers of the Phantom Bow.
Yes.
Followers of the Jagged Sword. Followers of the Kid Trippers. And followers of fire magic. Oh, necromancers.
Yeah.
Necromancy's pretty evil. What else is evil?
Flails.
Flail boys.
The flail boys.
Yeah.
And...
Are flails inherently evil? This flailing stuff?
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Have you seen them? They're gruesome.
Yeah. I feel like nunchucks would be more evil because you can accidentally knock yourself out with it.
You can knock yourself out with a flail, but you won't have a headless.
Yeah, I think if you had a flail, you'd knock yourself out.
At least with a nunchuck, you've got like a shiner and that's about it.
Yeah. I think you'd right. kill yourself with a flail.
I love the way Alex went for nunchuck.
It's because I have a very distinct memory of trying to use my friend's nunchucks when I was a kid and it spinning around and hit me on the back of my head.
Okay,
it knocked your hat into the road.
I know we're bringing back this image of you with the leather jacket, katana, Japanese lessons and a fedora, but were you wearing all of those when you were using the nunchucks? And did you say you have the power of God and anime on your side?
I was much younger at the time. I was but a child. But that's what got me into it, yeah. I saw the nunchucks and I was like,
butter boy.
Whilst you were talking to women, I was learning the nunchucks.
I was watching Bruce Lee.
Sorry, King.
Right. He's still on hold.
Yeah, before we get too far into it,
I
want to say he has been incredibly professional so far.
He has.
I almost have a feeling that if you were to press the button, he is just going to keep going without a single break.
He's the master of the pitch. He knows it's straight down to business. We don't have time for pleasantries. Just move on from where we were. Sorry, King, you're back. Boop.
Oi, what's the best game where you get to eat pie? What's the best game where you play a dead guy? You'll find out on VG247's podcast.
Looks boring.
What are you on about?
It looks great. All of their games, they look boring.
It doesn't look boring. It looks like you're an assassin on the Isle of Man.
But it doesn't have the kind of wow.
The steampunk whale-based economy is incredible.
Yeah, boring.
VG247's Best Games Ever podcast is ostensibly a show about figuring out what the best game in a weirdly specific category is, but it's actually just about petty arguments. You should listen to it. It's good.
Is that it? That's the whole promo?
Yeah, I was just doing
And that's supposed to make people subscribe, is it?
Yes.
Okay, good luck with that.
You can find us wherever you get your podcasts.
But the big mechanic I had in mind is your resurrection ability and how it affects the world around you. The point of having villages and towns around is that initially they have no idea you're some evil force of death come to do evil things. So you buy things like food or arrows from them, maybe you buy a horse to get around easier, or buy health potions and that sort of stuff. But the more times you die, the more outwardly evil you become. So after 40 or 50 deaths, I don't know, your head is a flaming skull and you have a big-ass scythe and you can summon a skeletal steed. But anytime you're nearby a village or town, people immediately start trying to kill you and you can't buy their stuff anymore. Maybe you can help me figure out how to make that a bit more compelling and interesting, because on paper, it doesn't seem like there's much of a downside to dying a lot, since you get magical death powers to mitigate stuff you're losing out on by being in populated areas. Plus, there's no real way to reverse your deathiness that I've thought of yet. But, like I said, this is the least fleshed out of my ideas. And I know it's still a lot to take in. Hopefully it gives you enough to work with and make a good episode. But if not, don't worry, because there's plenty more where that came from. Once again, I've been dumbass, I guess. Thank you for your time.
Hey, thanks, King. That's great. Nice. That's really nice. See you later, King.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you for the call. We'll catch you next time. Love you.
He's not so. He's still there. Can't hear him hanging up.
I found it really odd.
Just silently breathing.
He called in live just when we needed the idea. It's like he knew, and he knew when we were recording.
The timing could not have been better.
Hey, he's the king for a reason.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, I could have just listened to his voice for another 10 minutes.
I'd love that. But he did say that he hopes that it was enough to make a good episode. It was enough.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's Pitch Please calling.
Yeah, the bar was already set so low.
That's fair.
No, thank you very much, King of Mushan, prick, dumbass, whatever else. I like the deathiness makes you more evil. I guess the way to make it more interesting is making, trading in villages and interacting with civilians and whatever else actually very, very useful in the early game. Like you really need to buy these potions. You really need to get these upgraded weapons or the horse or whatever else you can get from these towns. Otherwise, you will just die out there. So then when they do start to turn on you, you have to be strong enough to sort of continue that curve upwards where it's not so difficult anymore. Otherwise, you're just going to suffer and die.
I sort of think it would be fun, like, instead of, I guess, in the early days, like, you've died a couple of times. I can picture this affecting your dialogue choices. I'm assuming there's going to be some dialogue in this game. But it might be that your dialogue choices no longer give you nice options. And it's like, you go to bite arrows and it's like, give me some fucking arrows. And like you start.
Jesus. No wonder they're not going to serve you.
The dialogue is not really any different to what it was before. It's just you're adding swear
words. Yeah. But that's early stage. And then it starts being like, you just literally can't ask for anything. You have to steal.
You have to take it.
The only options available to you.
All you can do is roar at them.
Right. Maybe. Yeah.
I think the thing that I thought of was as trying to make a downside of you dying a lot and you becoming more evil. So it's what if, and I'm just going to throw some random words out that I've seen in this that he said. So, okay, for instance, you start and you are 50-50 like evil and like you have like radiance abilities, right? And there's two types of abilities. There's the sort of radiance ones, which are more powerful. And then there's the dark ones, which are like weaker, but they cost you less, you know, stamina or mana over time to use. And as you die, those bars shift. So the ratio becomes more evil than sort of radiant. So you can't use the sort of more powerful good moves as often. You have to sort of figure out how you want to do them whilst you're recharging that bar. So they're always available to you, but you have to be more tactical in how you might use them in a combat situation because you have died so many times that you've sort of become more evil and visibly more evil and unconnected from the balance, I guess.
Like, I guess, and I appreciate, none of you are going to get this reference, the Red Mage from Final Fantasy 14.
oh my God. Yeah, Tom, you're right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't get that reference.
No. they have the same sort of, well, they don't have like things that dramatically shift their bars as they go. Right. But yeah, you have to use light abilities and dark abilities equally. And then when they're evened out, they are stronger together.
Is that
so you can't use the same one over and over again?
Like if you were to, as the game progresses, if you were to do something, then basically doesn't deny you of using an ability, but denies you kind of like, or like punishes you, like makes you like have to use it, be able to use it less.
I don't think so. Like the one bad side I see is that if you are shit at the game, it inherently gets harder. If you are good and don't die, you have an easier time. So maybe we flip it.
Yeah.
No, that doesn't work either.
Well, no, I don't think you do get, it doesn't get harder because you sink deeper into the evil depths and you gain new, more evil abilities.
So I guess maybe there is a
question of like, why not just die? Like he does say that he wants to find a way to not just have death be the path. Like a reason to actually not die a million times, but I don't know.
Well, maybe the reason for not dying, like the radiant side. I don't know why. Did he say radiant at one point? I've now got the word radiant stuck in my head.
I don't think so.
I feel like I haven't heard him.
I don't actually think the radiant and dark balancing was mentioned at all. But yeah,
no, I thought of that, but I didn't know if you mentioned the word radiant. It's now stuck in.
I think he sounded radiant. That's the only.
That was it. That was it.
Connection I can make.
Radiant what voice. If like the radiant side are more counters, so they're instead of you don't have to be so aggressive, they are ways to navigate around combat, or like instead of the dark abilities being always offensive, then maybe the radiant ones are defensive, so you don't lose your ability to attack, you just lose your ability to maybe handle the situation differently the more times you die. That's the only other sort of balance thing I can think of right now.
But what's the benefit of befriending or working with villagers and humans?
Well, you need stuff that they have, right?
I mean, I find it interesting that we've all kind of gravitated towards kind of like magical abilities, but Damas only really mentioned, correct me if I'm wrong, like sword abilities and physical, like, you know, a bow and arrow.
That's true, yeah.
That is true.
Like, do we even want magic? I mean, I feel like we do, based on the fact that you're kind of this like god-like creature.
A warrior blessed by the god of death is what he said.
And you can reform like some after your kill.
Supernatural abilities, yeah.
Well,
some kind of supernatural abilities going on there.
What if no magic then?
Okay, yeah.
You could just be incredibly hard to kill. So, you know, it's like you get attacked and you just, I don't know. Like, can that even work? Does it even work? I don't know.
Well, I do really like that. Just the general idea of death, or like excessive deaths or dying over and over, like factoring into the gameplay in one way or another, because that's very like Dark Souls-y in a way, or Elden Ring, where like you kind of learn in one way or another, you get something out of dying repeatedly. And it reminded me a little bit of, Chris, you might have played this. There was a game called Chronos on the
like when Oculus first released, it was a VR game, which it didn't need to be. It was just a third person.
I haven't, but I know what game you're talking about.
Yeah, like you, it was like it was a third person adventure, like Darksiders kind of thing. And the VR portion of it was literally you would just be like a fly on the wall looking around these different levels as you would watch your character move around in a Resident Evil style. You would be the camera of a Resident Evil fixed camera style thing. And that was just kind of an action adventure. But you started off as like a young adult or a kid even. And then every time you died, you aged until you just became a super old man. And I died quite a lot finishing that game. But as you aged up, you would start getting more access to more skills.
Like Sifu.
Yeah, is that how Sifu works?
Well, Sifu, when you die, you age. But when you age too much and eventually actually die, you have to start again.
So really? Is it that brutal? What, you just, that's it? You're just done?
Yeah.
That feels like maybe a bit much. For me, like for an open world game like this, like imagine if you just, you die 60 times and then like, that's it.
I guess he did touch on something when it was like the villagers would attack you because you're visibly evil. So it does, there is a downside to dying, is that maybe you're, you know, traveling in the overworld just becomes that much harder and you have to avoid villagers altogether. And then you have to like maybe go hunting for food instead of being able to buy food. So there's like, it would have like a shift of like,
yeah,
I could just go a everywhere shift of gameplay. Versus.
Well, what
now
if
I'm battling
also,
everyone. Well,
that could also cut off certain sections that limit you. So you can only like, say if you want to get the sword from the sword god, but you have to do it in under 15 deaths. So if you, on your way there, if you die more than 15 times, that locks that area off and you can no longer get that ability, right?
What if the land is covered in a veil of death?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
And every time you die brings a little bit of radiance back into that area. And when you go back there again, it's slightly tougher and it's slightly tougher and it's slightly tougher each time. Maybe if you die in a particular area like 20 times, it becomes completely impenetrable for you and you just can't get in there. But the more you die, the more abilities you get. So you are shifting, almost shifting the level of each area in how you play. If you fail, you make an area harder. I guess it could snowball dramatically, but that's when, you know, gaining powers via death could be useful.
That
but like
is
it's an opposite.
Like,
sorry,
no, I don't know. That's something about that like gets me super excited. Just even visually, like when you're talking about like the whole game, like the whole world begins. Like I'm imagining like a Breath of the Wild style, you know, open world map that is like just bathed in like darkness and death to begin with. It's almost like, you know, like Shadow of Mordor kind of thing.
Mm.
But then the more you die, like you say, you like it's the good guys overcoming the bad guys, and so
yeah,
that area starts to literally visually change and maybe has some other kind of mechanic, like some differences in those particular areas as the game progresses.
Have you ever played the game The Saboteur? Because that's what happens in that. It's where it's black and white.
Oh, the
with
World
the Nazis
War II
and you, so it's black and white and red.
Yeah,
and then when you take it over, the color comes back to that area. So
oh,
that's
yeah,
what it reminded me of.
I do remember
and
that.
And I forgot the name of the game, so people might have heard me typing where I typed, because I knew the main character was Irish and I knew it had Nazis in it. So Irish Nazi okay. game I typed, and it came up straight away, which
amazing.
Is a very good game.
Or it could go the other way, like you were talking about the balance, where not the other way, but like instead of it starting in darkness and the more you die, the brighter it gets for them and it's worse for you, it could start in the middle ground. And, you know, if you demolish an area, then it gets darker and you're stronger in that area. If you die there, it gets brighter and you're weaker there. Maybe there's something there. In terms of, I do kind of like what we were saying earlier as well about recruiting like weapon factions, I suppose, or completely devouring them and gaining their abilities for yourself. But then it's always going to be more fun to use the abilities yourself than to see an AI running around doing it for you. So that needs to be much more worthwhile, I suppose. But again, you could also just have 15 different weapon arts around the world that you learn by going there and killing them.
I still think they should be locked off if you die a certain amount, but they should all... So at the start, all of them are one, like all the, they record, let's say 10 deaths, right? You can access any one you want first. So you can choose which one you want to go to first. And after that, they all increase. So you, every time you play through it, maybe you could go a different weapon route each time. But as long as you're under, and then if you go over that, then that one locks off, or, you know, one of them locks off at random, or however they, you want to, maybe you decide.
So it's,
it.
Like, it's almost like you're having a, you're choosing a run in that, like through that.
It's more like you, the map, it's like a world-based skill tree kind of thing, if anything, I guess. Where you're locking off certain ones by going to certain ones and removing the, and the constraint of one path by locking off two others. But it, yeah, it involves you defeating a boss. It's boss-based skill trees, Alex. That's going to be in the trailer.
So how are you, because I like the idea of you are, if you die in one area, or that you could, like you said, you can only die in so many, like a, in an area so many times, or against something so many times before it gets locked off. And maybe that's because, I don't know, like in terms of the setup, like the story setup of it, like once you've died so many times, this area becomes cleansed or something, and then that's it. You can't do anything about it. But are you making, like, by choosing some areas to fight in some areas, are you like locking off other areas as a result of that? Or is the whole thing just kind of open and you go to it however you want?
I mean, making an open world game that any average player will only see half of it. That's always going to be fun.
Well, I feel like you never want to restrict a player from going to a place as a result. You never want to lose, you don't want to like lose portions of the access to portions of the game that you're like, oh, I wish I had gone to here. You know, it's quite frustrating. Mm-hmm. If it's as a result of you trying that area and failing, and you're like, well, okay, maybe I'll come back here later when I've got some more skills, that's different. But you shouldn't, I don't feel like you should ever lose access to a place.
What if instead of locking it off, it, as Alex said, it like becomes cleansed, and therefore every time you enter that area, I know you, your attacks do less damage, or you have health restriction, like you caps your health. It makes it a little bit harder. So you can always do it, but you have to try it harder to get the result there, because you've made a decision to get something else. And that's the sort of, hey, if I want
it
to get that,
into like the hard mode version of that area.
Yeah, it's like I can still obtain that, but I've made a decision to make that harder for myself by going for that one first. But there might be a benefit for me doing this one second. Maybe you get something extra if you do either of them in a harder, in a cleansed area.
I think it would be cool if there is just a constant ebb and flow of the light and dark moving across the map, where you spread your dark one way, the light spreads another way and encapsulates another area, and you're just constantly trying to push it back until eventually you go to the final boss and say, hey, fuck you, got a light. Dark time.
You're fucking dead.
Nighttime, baby.
Dark time. could it be like you, like once you die in one, or, you know, once one area becomes cleansed, then like it naturally begins to spread because, you know, like the humans or the people who populate that area, you know, like they gain belief and willpower, and they start to, you know, cleanse the surrounding
Alex,
area.
Sweet summer child. It's an open world game. There's viewpoints that you have to climb up. And once you capture them, they are just a constant flow of darkness that forever
the camera spins
an area.
Around.
Yeah, the camera spins around. There's an eagle.
Yeah.
For some haystack, reason. For some reason.
But then you see like the clouds.
It's an evil haystack
over the area.
Yeah, yeah.
It's twigs.
Yeah. It's a haystack of glass. I don't know.
One thing I wanted to just touch on before we forget about it was the thing that James mentioned earlier, which I thought was really cool, was like, I think like King mentioned as well, but like being shunned by the townspeople or whatever, but the effect of that having, like, you mentioned something then, James, about like how it would really impact your gameplay in terms of like, maybe you can't go to town anymore. And then you have to actually start relying on things like not quite survival. Like, it doesn't suddenly turn into a survival game. But if you need to go and get like certain potions or whatever, like health or whatever, there's food or something that you would need to buy in town. Instead of going into a town to buy it, you then have to hunt for it in the wilderness or something instead.
Yeah, I think that could
find
work.
It in a different source.
Like, to make that work with your idea of the cleansing, I guess it's like you would have to make a choice of, do I battle the people of this cleansed town to get the stuff that I need? but it's right here. I'm right close to it. Or do I kind of, I can go and forage. I could like do a bit of like, you know, hunting or whatever. Or do I travel to a location that I have already made like the darkness to try and get stuff there? But maybe the downside is that you can't get as good a stuff. Like maybe the food and the all the ingredients have wilted in the darkness. So it's like there is obviously a benefit to going to these radiant places because you can get fresh food or something.
The good kush.
Get the good stuff. But I guess that's kind of weird though when you think of the concept of like you're this death like god.
You should and want like, all the wilted stuff.
Oh, I need
you should
really
only be
fresh
able to eat death.
Fresh bread.
Maybe it's fresh apples.
Yeah. But without them, I die. Like, I'm trying to reconcile, like, how this... and if you just die of starvation, well, then do you just get more power? So you get more abilities.
Yeah.
I feel like, yeah, there's a load of people that will start the game and then just go AFK for 30 hours while their character right. dies of hunger repeatedly.
Well, you could do it where stuff from the cleansed place maybe heals you more but then reduces something else and the opposite effect happens in the sort of stuff you get from the non-cleansed areas. There needs to be a trade-off that...
I mean, I guess to come back to the original idea that we proposed of the radiant bar and the death bar, if you want to keep your radiance, maybe you need to go to a good, you know, a cleansed place to top that bar up with whatever cleansed radiant mana is versus dark mana. Like maybe it is that constant battle of trying to keep it balanced, but that does kind of go against Damas's original pitch that you're just death, you know?
What? Unless you're like, what if you're like Phantom Knight, but you're like the god, you're like the son or the child of the god of death, but also the child of like the god of life.
The god of death and the god of life were banging?
Yeah, they banged. And you,
and they made you were the child. The son of existence.
So,
you're just so a god of, like, you are the god of chaos.
So, yeah, this is Darksiders. This is...
<You're> just, like Hades.
You just made Darksiders.
Darksiders.
Yeah.
And just all of Greek mythology because Zeus is a randy motherfucker.
Did Zeus fuck Hades?
Oh, probably.
Oh, they all fucked each other at some point, didn't they?
Poor me.
Oh, I don't know, Tom.
Zeus could
every
fuck
time
anyone.
You, do you know when you rub your hand on something and you get a static shock? It's because you're the son of Zeus.
Oh, I can feel him inside me.
Wow. Yeah, does that, like, maybe that would kind of, like, I mean, you could just have some kind of story reason for it, basically, is what it means, so that there is some reason why you need this other stuff, like, why you need some light abilities, or you need to go into town to, you need to, like, why you have to eat fresh apples,
yeah,
or whatever the equivalent would be.
God, you hunger for fresh apples, but you also hunger for blood.
Yeah.
And you got to have both. You got to have a varied diet as the god of chaos.
Exactly.
Otherwise, or maybe just don't eat at all. Maybe, I don't, why is there a hunger aspect now? Why is there a survival aspect?
I think that was
aspect?
For more there doesn't healing mean, yeah. items, or you go right, to buy okay. arrows. Maybe they're just regular arrows, but these are death arrows.
Yeah, like maybe it is like ammo or something, but I just thought like it could be kind of cool. Like when James was talking about like being banished from a certain town because you're too evil or whatever, like having to, like what are the consequences of that? Is it just they fight you whenever you go, you can only fight them? Like, but there must be something else to it. You can't use their shops or whatever. But what does it actually mean?
They boo you in terms of like gameplay, and you feel really bad about yourself.
They ding a bell and just say shame repeatedly.
Yeah.
The land gets filled with paladins of the Holy Order who want to banish you from the land. And if it gets too dark, it gets filled with monsters of the Deathly Order, and they want you killed. So I guess you want to balance it, I suppose. I don't know. Paladins. Fuck them. Monsters.
That could be kind of... Yeah, mate. Maybe you're just trying to maintain the balance. Like you could have these, you've got the different armies of the bad, like the dark armies and the paladin light armies.
You're not fighting the god of light anymore. That's not the final boss. There's two.
Yeah.
The god of light and the god of darkness.
You're fighting your mum and dad.
You're fighting mum and dad. The mum and pop army.
I hate it when you guys fight.
Before their big war began, they got together and made you.
Yeah.
And now you have to take down the God of Light and the God of Darkness. And when you take down one God of Light, the darkness spreads. When you take down darkness, the light spreads. Hang on a minute. Wait. This is Final Fantasy 14.
Oh, okay. I was just going to say, maybe you, like, if you plotted this on like a map, you've literally got good God at one end, bad God at another, and you've got a bunch of villages in the middle, and their influence spreads throughout them. And then your job is to keep them balanced. But if you die in like a radiant place, your radiance increases. If you die in a death place, your death increases, which makes undoing the other one that much harder.
There's three endings. Two of them, but one of them is kill both of them, and the other two is siding with them. And then you can decide, do you want a dark land, team up with the God of Death, or vice versa, or neither.
It's like a three button choice at the end of Deus Ex Human Revolution. Where you put like 40 hours into the game and then Mass Effect 3 Is it the same in Mass Effect 3 as well? I can't even remember.
It does.
You know that weird spectral kid that comes speak to you at the end?
I think I tuned that one out.
Yeah, it's great. Great ending.
Team Revolution was spoilers, the one that
there's a spectral
the
kid. Sorry for spoiling Mass Effect 3.
Tom is Googling what year that came out.
Yeah. Sorry for spoiling a 10-year-old game.
10 years. Christ. Look, I really like the idea of the balance stuff. Like, I feel that there should be something more to do with like the light and the dark and not just the dark.
I think an open world game that there is essentially three maps that you have to create, but they're all on the same template, obviously, where there's the neutral and it's just a thriving, lovely little place, and where it's dark, it's burning and nooses and corpses and undead and dead trees and shit like that. And when it's light, oh, it's so bright. It's just too bright.
Everyone has a glow.
It's just too warm.
What is like the downs? Why would you want to not just side with the light? Because what's like a bad light? It's too hot. It's desert.
It's burning. Yeah.
Maybe you can't, like your character can't survive. If it's 100% radiant, you die because you're made of both parts, right? So you've got to try and keep the balance.
Right. Yeah. The balance is within you. So you need to hold it. Make sure that
the balance is within you.
But the actual game title, I don't know.
Balance Boy, the God of Chaos.
Balance Boy.
Son of Death.
Balance Boy.
Oh, no.
That sounds like the name for, fuck, like, you know what, like one of those, like a new version of like a skateboard or something, you know, like the snake
board. The Balance Boy.
What was it? The thing that looked like Saturn. It was like a bouncy ball with a ring around it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, what was that called? Fuck, damn.
I can't remember. They're called Rockin' Hoppers.
I found out
a couple of weeks ago. We had to buy one for something.
Oh.
I didn't know they were called
that. Simply had to.
Look, Mushan, thank you very much
for blessing us.
With your incredible voice.
Yeah, I really like this pitch, and I'm really happy that you sent in an audio recording as well. I genuinely really, really loved that. Thank you, King of Mushan. And I look forward to hearing... That was his second idea, by the way. We've had an idea from him before.
I can't remember what the first one was.
Was it the taxi one? I think it might have been basically...
I think
Nightcore.
The taxi was Hugo.
Oh.
I feel like
Tom,
the taxi was
mixing
Hugo.
Up. It might I'll have call been. It.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to have to go back and check.
I've got you all saved under the same name on my phone.
we've hit two fans now. It's very difficult to keep track of everyone.
So sorry. But yeah, if you want to send in your voice recordings or Google Doc ideas or scrawled in piss in the snow ideas, then you can send them to @pitchplusput. On Twitter, which is Pitch Please Pod without any vowels, or
indeed
to our email, Pitch Please Pod
with the vowels
at
pickaxe.com.
Pickaxe.com. Pitch Please Pod with all the vowels at pickaxe.com. And yeah, our wonderful producer will trudge through that mess to send us the good shit.
It's actually at yogscast.com.
Pitch Please Pod with all of the vowels at yogscast.com.
Jeez.
You can just edit that in.
Thanks. Yeah, perfect.
He won't.
I will 100% do that.
Yeah, I know you will. I trust you.
So, yeah, thanks.
I just did like a very professional outro.
Yeah.
Admittedly with the wrong email address, but come on, carry
You're
on
right.
the flow.
You're right. I'm sorry.
I think
totally
it's up to someone else to do a professional outro. James?
Oh, God.
James, what? Yeah, please, can you take it out for us? I've fucked it.
Outro? Shit, I was having a cough then. Sorry. Yeah, it's all good. Thanks, guys. Tune in next week or the week after.
Doesn't even know.
When we'll have another great idea from either me, Alex, Chris, Tom, or one of you lovely listeners out there. I hope it's a listener. Or a guest. All remember right. those? Oh, shit. All right. Okay. How was that, Alex?
That was that in. Cheers. Yeah, that was great. Let's end on that. Thanks.
Jesus.
Bye.
Thanks, guys.
Bye. Goodbye. Bye now. Bye.
I'm not sure if that's the email address.
Wait, you're not sure that's the email either?
No, it's fine. I'll just put it on the show notes.
We'll put it on the show notes.
For the one person that accidentally reads that.